And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, we delve into Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. We witness Paul's unreserved frustration with the church, the Galatians, the church of Galatia, and their mindset. He addresses them as foolish Galatians, which differs significantly from Jesus' warning against the call of somebody, calling somebody a fool. We will examine the difference between Paul saying foolish Galatians and Jesus condemning the word raka, or fool. Not good? That's going to be good stuff right there. Next, Paul then poses an intriguing question. Who has bewitched you? This statement carries profound weight, as many Christians can be influenced by individuals who use false teaching and lies to mislead them into mistaken paths. And then finally, theology comes into play as Paul highlights how the Galatian church, who initially grasped the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, has now allowed themselves to substitute Jesus and rely on their own efforts. This is a serious matter, as it will ultimately lead to tragedy. Salvation starts in Jesus, it remains in Jesus, and it is completed in Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Yes. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities. Oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show. It's kind of fun right there. David@hemusincrease.org. That's David@hemusincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, my friends, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, this is the last one I'm going to do like this for a little while, just to let you know. But if you talk to Dynamite D, that's like talking to a person who will get gas for you if you run out of gas and bring it to your car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good right there, depending on where the person lives. Yeah, D, I need some gas. Great, where you at? Canada. Anyway.
Oh, well, I need some gas money to get you gas.
That's right. Maybe you've got a prayer request. So our mentality is pretty simple. It's Hebrews 10:25, Hebrews 3:13. The idea is to encourage one another as we see the time getting closer. And it's getting closer. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We've said this a thousand times. It's a lot closer today than it was yesterday. And it's getting closer and closer. So we want to encourage one another. So does that mean that you can't be frustrated about some of the things you're going on? No, you can be frustrated. It's just on this show, we're just asking people to take a break and to strengthen one another. It's not that you can't share. We're just asking you to let's focus on what we're dealing with personally, relationally, kingdom building wise. And so if you have a prayer request, you got somebody you need prayer for, you need prayer for yourself, you got family members, you got things going on, I need prayer, call us up. We'll take our faith. We'll put it with your faith. We'll combine our faith. Bring it before the Lord. If you got something to share, something that's going on in your life, and it's like, this is awesome. It's something happened today where, I mean, this is the weirdest thing that happened. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Lord, I can't find these files. I don't know where these files are. So I said, I'm going to stop. I'm going to walk away. Just going to talk to you for a little bit. Forget about it. So I'm getting ready for the morning. And then all of a sudden, bam. I mean, I wasn't even thinking. I stopped thinking about it. Bam. I knew right where they were.
Wow.
And it was just like... Oh, and I was like, thank you, Lord. You know, because I was like, I don't even want to think about it. And the Lord was like, there, boop, up, all. And I was thinking there was only maybe two or three. All four of the files that we're looking for in the same spot. Like,
wow.
You've got to be. Oh, that's amazing. That's something to share. That's the Lord going, hey, I'm right here. I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I hear you. I know you. I know the frustration. And I want to say that if the Lord has blessed you in that way, you should share that. That's a blessing for other people to hear. You can do that as well. And then you can also do something goofy like answer trivia. Let's see if you can answer this one. This is a tough one. A little tougher. Maybe not that tough. Old Testament answer. Who was the most humble man on earth according to the Torah?
Easy.
Who was the most humble man on earth according to the Torah? And that would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is the Torah.
You know, David, really quick point. I think... Well, that teaching in the first half was so good because many are hurting, and we know where we got to look for it. I think we got it. We say this a million times. Continue to keep each other lifted in prayer.
That's right. And you got to, because we need each other. We are dependent on each other. That is how the Lord designed it. I'm just saying that's kind of how it's set up. I know. The body strengthens and grows as each part does its work. Well, part of that works praying and caring for one another, loving one another. All right. If you know the answer, by the way, the most humble, well, it's not your radio host. The most humble person in the Old Testament, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well as send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is ready with an answer. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. We're going to be doing some simulcasting in about 2 weeks into the San Diego area, so I'm very interested to see what the Lord does with it. So there's a little sense of excitement, then a little sense of reservation, you know, kind of at that same time. And but we're hoping that this is what the Lord wants and we can advance the kingdom. That's our goal. So we need your prayers now more than ever.
I prayed for all of you Sunday.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. Keep praying for us. All right, and I want to pray for you after this, but you got to answer this first because some people are going all over the place on the answer. So I need you to help us out. Who in the Old Testament, in the Torah, was the most humble man on earth?
I believe that's Moses.
That is correct, Amundo! If anybody had a reason to brag, it'd be the guy that spent that much time with God. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, well, if he had a right, I think you'd give it to us. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 is what gives us that indicator. Let me pray over you, just for your health, because I know that you need that prayer. So, and ask the Lord to bless you, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, I lift up my dear brother Gary. He's precious to us, Lord. Pray for him. We ask you. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep knocking. We're going to keep asking you to heal his physical body. He needs a miracle on the inside. And you are the miracle maker. So please, way maker, miracle maker, bring it into Gary's life. Physically heal him and give him vitality and newness and freshness of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, and thank you very much. And I'll keep praying for you, and God bless you.
You too, brother. God bless you.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, we are going to jump into this teaching, which some people are just going to go... may go well, may not go well. I don't know how it's going to go. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to focus on that verse 1 for a little while because I want to make sure that we stay in this and understand what this big difference is. So here's Paul. He's getting frustrated a little bit. I think this is the human part that Scripture allows. The verbal plenary process of somebody writing Scripture is when the person doesn't lose who they are, but the Lord is saying what he wants to say. And that works in this perfect harmony that only God could create. Nobody else could create that. And so the idea, and that's why it's
written by man.
Hardly. So the idea behind this is he's going to express some of that humanity, but it's going to express exactly what God wants to communicate. And here's what's being communicated. Oh,
foolish Galatians. It's like, wow. You know, you get to a point where you're writing a letter to somebody, and, you know, if you're writing them and, you know, hey, you know, you could be doing better here. Hey, watch this. Hey, watch this. Hey, you're a nut job. I mean, it's just like all of a sudden it just like starts going off. So I want to make sure you understand this big difference between what Jesus said and what Paul is saying. So there's a huge distinction between the biblical definition of a fool and the word Jesus used, which is raka, in Matthew chapter 5:22, when he forbade calling a brother a fool, a Christian brother a fool. The term raka, spoken from a heart of contempt, implied utter worthlessness. So Jesus was not saying you can't call the choices of another foolish, but when you call somebody raka, when you say raka, you're saying that person is beyond the reach of God, therefore condemned forever. And you, and saying that to brothers, wow, you're stepping into some pretty serious territory. Is that, you know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? No, but you're stepping into some serious territory when you say another Christian can't be pulled back by the Lord. That's really, and so Jesus, when he's talking about brothers, he's talking about connection, not talking about every human being on the planet. Sorry, that's not the context. And so it isn't, I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it's the equivalent of saying that D word, and it has an A after it, and then an M, and then an N. That's that word. It's like saying that word you. You get what I'm saying? I can't do a fine. So D-A-M-N-U. And it's like it's a condemnation. And that's what it is for us today. So we need to be aware that, number one, we don't have the power or the right to condemn anyone to hell. Only God has that. You understand that? The position of judgment from an eternal perspective only belongs to God. A born-again Christian can't be damned because he or she has been purchased by the blood of Christ. That's Colossians 1:14. So we can and should, however, do all we can to turn the hearts of those who are exhibiting foolishness towards wisdom and possibly save their lives and the eternal souls. Paul here is saying something completely different. Can I say, I got to say this in the nicest way. And I'm not trying to irritate anybody. I'm just trying to give you this big difference, right? Paul is calling them stupid. You can say everything you want. It's like, oh, that's just really rude. Okay. The way we use the word stupid now is the way Paul was using foolish then. And you could be upset about that, or you could be, I don't know, that doesn't matter. He's just like going, okay, let's square this away. So he's just spent an entire chapter dropping deep theology on how that salvation is by Jesus. And now he's like going, okay, people. And now he's, you can sense, because then the next line that we're going to get into takes it up a notch. Because you think that's bad, he's about to say something worse in the next portion of the verse. We don't even think of it that way. We're just all like getting focused on that. He's not calling them rockets, not even the same Greek word. So it's not, you know, we're not the same planet there. But important to note, he is frustrated at their ridiculous behavior. Okay? Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. My hope is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people who vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it, and it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham. You're here when I need you the most, when I need you the most. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Just want to do a quick follow-up before we do the trivia. Remember I said that word raca that Jesus used in Matthew 5:22 is different. The word, by the way, that was used in the Galatians 3:1 that we're studying is the Greek word enoitas. Enoitas, and it means not intelligent. So what would you say we would have an equivalent for us today in not intelligent? I kind of think stupid's a pretty good fit. I'm sorry.
Pretty much.
You get mad at me. It's like, yeah, but that's okay. I'm just saying that's substantially different. Okay. Here's a trivia question. This should not be that difficult. Ironically, what did God make on the first day of creation? What did God make on the first day of creation? Get that? All right. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. As you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. What did God make on the first day? And don't say he made the first day, because that doesn't count, okay? So think about what he made on the first day. Okay, so think about this. So what you want to do, and I'm just going to help people because I don't want people to get it wrong, is you want to look at Genesis 1, 1 through 4. See, I've already got I got Galatians on the brain. So you got to bear with me. Okay, plus I also have a couple jokes. This will help me. This will clean my palate. Ready? All right. Now, this is very funny if you catch it.
Uh-oh.
You have no idea. Okay. We'll open up with an easier one and get into the other two. What was the snail doing on the highway? What was the snail doing on the highway? About a half a mile a day.
Shut up, just shut up, shut up.
That is a great play. That is such a great play. About a half a mile a day. Come on. Okay, here you go. What's the best advice you can give to a worm? What's the best advice you can give to a worm? What's the best advice? Sleep late. Okay, fine. All right, this is a great one, and I hope you guys get it. How do you catch a unique rabbit? How do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on it.
Are you kidding me?
Wait. How do you catch a tame rabbit? Tame way. Unique up on it. Okay. Okay, we'll just close with these because people are like going, I don't get these. What do you get when you cross a hen with a hyena? A hen with a hyena. An animal that laughs at every yoke. I didn't get any sounds over there, buddy. What happened?
I was trying to find the right sound, Dave. These are two out there. The
they were too far out. They were too far out. All right, that's all right. What did God make on the first day of creation? All right, this will help you. Let there be. There you go.
Don't.
Okay, there you go. That'll help you. If you think you know, what are we going to go right into that? 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. Send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Back to the text we go for the next portion, which is really absolutely much worse than the first portion. I know you're thinking, this one's much worse. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, he goes, "Oh, foolish Galatians, what?" Now listen to this translation. "What magician," hold on, "what magician has cast an evil spell on you?" In other texts that say, "Who has bewitched you?" Now just think about that. And think about that translation, by the way. Just listen to that. "What magician has cast an evil spell on you? Who has bewitched you? What happened that you went from, yep, I get it, to nope, I don't get it? And what happened?" And so what Paul is talking about is this, it's the profound way that Christians can be influenced by individuals who often use false teachings and lies to mislead them on the wrong path. Are those lies always intentional? No. But are they still possible? Yes. And so Paul's like going, who tricked you? I guess that's a nice way to say it for us. Who tricked you for you not to stay in Jesus? Who tricked you to think you can pick this up on your own? At what point in your faith do you think you have the power to take over for God? Something that God has done. Now, you work in partnership with God, but let's not be dishonest about it. The partnership that we have with God is saying yes. The partnership we have with God is repenting. The partnership we have with God is receiving. The partnership we have with God is believing. He does everything else. And so we got to get away from that. So when you get a passage like Philippians 1:6, you know, it says, "Confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ," you know that it's God that's doing it. And I think most people would acknowledge, or at least would to some degree acknowledge, that, hey, most of this stuff, I'm along for the ride. I mean, I'm just happy to be in it, right? And so Paul's like, what happened that you went from, I'm so happy to be saved, I'm just here for a part of the ride, I mean, I'm just enjoying this with the Lord, he's giving me great blessings, and so on and so forth. What happened from that to, I'll take control now? What sin is it like when you try to take control from God? What sin is that? Well, if you eat that, then, you know, you'll know the difference between good and evil, and you'll be like God. I think that's the close association there. So Adam and Eve were suffering from, let me just say this really nice. They were suffering from inequality with God. I mean, that's what they were suffering from, apparently. And so in their lack of brilliance, or as Aunt Deb said, in their ignorance, they then ate the fruit. And what happened? They ate the fruit. And what was the next thing that happened? Sin and death and disease, and the planet got fractured, and everything happened, everything possible. Well, what could possibly go wrong if you're trying to be just like God? That, all of that. And so when we're doing our salvation, when we're involved in our salvation, it's really helpful to understand those tenses that we talked about. Past tense, you are justified. Present tense, you are being sanctified. Future tense, you will be glorified. Even in my own prayers, there's times where I say to the Lord, I am saved. I am being saved and I will be saved. And today I corrected myself. Well, I'm sure the Lord was helping me, but saying, you know what? You saved me, you are saving me, and you will save me. That's what we... And so Paul's, he's upset. Why is he upset? Because this is a departure from the fundamental of the faith. And you cannot escape this entire epistle, which is often called the Magna Carta of the Bible, which is cute, but really the Magna Carta followed it. But the idea is this: God is saving you. God is delivering you from this. God is the one that's taken the penalty away. He's made you so that you're not an enemy with him, and then he's made you so that you're a friend with him. At what part do you take control? None. You know what you own on your salvation? A thank you. That's what you own on it. I own a thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Why? Because this is not you apart from him. And that's the problem. That's the argument. People that rely on their works to get into heaven, no matter what the denomination is it, that's a non-negotiable in the context that they're saying they're good enough. And Jesus isn't enough. Uh-oh. I don't think that's a good idea. I think that's a bad idea. I think that's contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? What did God make on the first day of creation? Technically, he said, let there be light. That was the primary answer. Now, day and, you know, you can get into the day and night. I would buy into that. But primarily, I was going for light because that was the big thing. Okay. All right, so here's the thing. We've got more to cover, a lot more to cover. So get ready because there's deeper theology coming. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know,
The show's all about you.
Well, this segment is
okay.
Not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience. If Jesus was lying.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. They got some challenging trivia questions. I'm going to tell you right now. This next trivia question is difficult. Can I say that? How do I say that any different? All right. Well, let's see if we can do the best we can do. Here it is. In which city were people first called Christians? In which city, Acts chapter 11, in which city were people first called Christians? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we're going to send you up to the website, as we often do. We ask you to honor the Lord with the things that he's given you. You're the steward, but you have to remember, as a steward, everything you have is his. That's that. There's no play with that. It's like, yeah, no, that's right. Okay. And we're hoping that the Lord will bless you in a position where you will take care of your home base. That's important to us. And that you will also, if you have the opportunity, partner with us in advancing the kingdom of God. As you can tell, we're trying to do some expansion. Hey, I got a message for you. It ain't free. Okay. That's the nicest way to put that. Is that a nice way to say that?
Well, 100% correct way to say it.
Yeah, it's just like, it ain't free. So we need everybody stepping up in prayer and giving it everything. And it's like, listen, other people can really be blessed by what we do. Let's try. We'll try. If it doesn't work, fine. But you know what? We're going to take our foot and we're going to put it over the side of the boat and do our best to walk on water and keep our focus on Jesus. I want you to do that with me, okay? Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
How do you not like that? You see, here's the thing. The thing is that now the Tarzan stuff's like not, you know, like as fun as it. Back then it was a blast. Wasn't it a blast? It was a blast. Okay. I'm just saying. So that's funny. I don't do that. All right. History. We got to do history. Let's do history. Let's do that. That's a good idea.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right. Today is National Chili Dog Day.
Chili dog.
Yeah. Hot dog with chili. I will not tell you that Noel's favorite chili dog is Wiener Schnitzel, even though it is Wiener Schnitzel. I will not tell you.
Yeah, she's a
Wiener Schnitzel. In California, it's really big.
Though
I don't know why. But anyway, that's besides the point. Today is also National Merry-Go-Round Day, which is pretty good, unless you want to stop.
Right.
And then additionally, it is Hot Fudge Sunday Day.
You like a hot fudge, Dave?
The hot fudge.
Not too many of them.
Hot fudge on me. Okay, I won't say how much I like it. I like the chocolate. That's just how I am. I'm just like one of those people. And it's also National Freezer Pop Day, which is basically a popsicle. And
I'm yum. I gotta have about two or three. I cannot eat just one.
I just have to. You know, now they come in like the two pack.
The little doubles.
Yeah, I have to have like both. You can't not. It's just a requirement from, I don't know, maybe from the Lord. Maybe not. 1853, the famous California bandit Joaquin Murrieta, also known as Robin Hood of El Dorado, is killed in 1853. Now, what's amazing is he lived in Temecula, which is right next to Murrieta.
Oh, wow. Good pronunciation.
So that's the origin. 1952, Puerto Rico, U.S. territory, adopts a constitution approved by the United States Congress. I don't even know what that means.
Well, it looked like they must have taken it as, like, adopted it.
Yeah, well, they adopted a constitution. I don't know if it's our constitution.
Yeah,
but it had to be something that's close to ours. And then finally, 1999, before it all went definitely the wrong direction. Lance Armstrong won his first Tour de France.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They went the wrong direction. Okay. So we'll just move on from there back into the teaching. Let me reiterate the trivia question. In what city were people first called Christians? Now, it should be noted that, well, this is in Acts chapter 11. So I'm looking for the city they were first called Christians. You can look it up. There's nothing wrong with that. That actually helps people retain it. But we're going to make a comment once the answer is given, because there's some people that have taught It was a negative term when it started, okay? But it didn't stay that way. But there's a small little group in the 21st century that thinks it was bad then, it's bad now. Of course, they never read 1 Peter, so that doesn't matter, which he says it's an honor to be named the name. Is the name of Christian. We'll just forget that Peter wrote that 15 years later. But what city did that all start in? That's all we're looking for. If you think you know, 972. See, you have to give a commentary. 445-0770 is the number to call. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, as well as send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Back to the text we launch or we go to, and let's pick it up. We'll just run through the whole thing, because there's really nothing that we don't need to see in here. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, what magician has cast an evil spirit on you, or an evil spell on you? For you used to see the meaning of Jesus Christ's death as clearly as though I had shown you a signboard with a picture of Christ dying on the cross. I'm going to go out on a limb and say there is not any part of this verse that does not get worse. It's just like, okay, first, all right, foolish Galatians, ignorant, stupid, not very intelligent. Who has cast a spell on you? It's like I gave you a picture, and the picture had Jesus dying on the cross, and you forgot what the picture was. I mean, that is just like, wow, he's kind of going to town there, right? So as though I had shown you a signboard with a picture of Christ dying on it, let me ask you this one question. Now, if you've ever had a conversation or an argument or a discussion with somebody and they say this, you know they're going somewhere very specific. If anybody ever says to you, let me ask you a question, you know where it's going. You know, okay, there's something coming, right? Well, he does that. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? So the theology... Okay, this is what I want you to get. The theology that Paul is dropping here is when you accepted Jesus Christ, you accepted him by faith. You receive the Holy Spirit. Do you fully access the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Nah. Is there more of the Holy Spirit to be poured into you? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just true, especially when you put yourself in that place. But he's not asking that, or he's not bringing that up. He's simply saying, You did this, and you received the Holy Spirit when you said yes to Jesus. Are you telling me you received the Holy Spirit because you were righteous, because you were good? It's almost like Paul is insulted that they think they got the Holy Spirit because of their righteous acts. It's almost like he seems to be a little bit angry or perturbed or something, whatever you want to use. And he's like, hey, the Holy Spirit that's in you, this precious part of the new covenant that separates everything from everything, this gift from God the Father, which is himself in the Spirit inside you, did you get that because of your righteous works, which are dirty as filthy rags? Isaiah 64:4. Or did you get it because you had faith and you believed? This is the thing. Let me say this. I think this is going to really hit home for some people. You're saved. Now you don't get extra stuff from God because you're good and you just do good. You get stuff from God, quote unquote, extra stuff, because you believe. So stop trying to earn the favor. Stop trying to impress him with your good, righteous works. Instead, do this. Believe him more. It's not just a matter of believing in God, which is crucial. It is also a matter of believing God. Don't just believe in God. I mean, the devil believes in God, but you have to believe God. You have to have faith for what he's had said to you. You've got to have faith for what he's promised you. You've got to have faith for what you're facing. And faith for, that's the entire argument Paul's making is right. It's right there. And you know what? This will happen 10 more times in this book, in this letter. Because he is so emphatic. He's like, look, you didn't receive the Holy Spirit because you're a goody. You're a goody two-shoes. That's why you got the Holy Spirit. You will never have enough good works. We've gone through this before. On the light side, any person who's lived 80 years has sinned a minimum of 292,000 times. On the light side, somebody like me, maybe like 1.2. That's not the point. The point is this. The point is simply, you have to recognize that we cannot move forward in God because we're doing good. If you genuinely have faith, good will come from that. And that's a great indicator, but it's not based on that. And what's important is that people try to start or initiate with their good works. Don't initiate with good works. Initiate with faith. Let the rest of it follow. Stop trying to make it happen. Let it happen. But if it's going to happen, it's going to have to happen by faith. So he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? Of course not. The Holy Spirit came upon you only after you believed the message you heard about Jesus Christ, which should really identify for people that when did the Holy Spirit come upon people? When did the Holy Spirit come upon people? After they believed the message about who? About Jesus. That's when the Holy Spirit comes upon people. Okay. And then Paul... I'm sorry. Then Paul goes, have you lost your senses? This is like, there's none of this that's, I'm not trying to be mean. There's none of this that's like, way to go. There's none of that right there. See, now he does say that in other places, but in this little section, it's very much, this is a faith program. You either get with the program or you're going to miss the program. It starts with faith. It stays by faith. It finishes by faith because it starts with faith in Jesus. It continues by faith in Jesus, and it finishes by faith in Jesus, and it doesn't go any other way. And if you do that, the other stuff will follow. Okay. Well, instead of trying to work my way into his favor, I'm going to continually believe him and remain in his favor. What a novel idea to walk by faith. In what city were people first called Christians? The answer is Antioch. Antioch is the first city they were called Christians. It is probable that it was a negative term. Oh, those Christ followers, those Christians. But about 15 to 20 years later, Peter wrote in 1 Peter and 2 Peter that you are privileged to be known by the name of Christian. So even though it started off bad, like many things in life does, it turned out to be something outstanding and wonderful. So you should be blessed to be known as a Christian, just so you can know that, okay? Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. fill out the form, and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
Then they complained to Moses against Moses and Aaron, and they said it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for our last trivia question. So most of you know this pretty well. You've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then you have Joshua. What's the next book? That should be easy to look up if you need to look it up. 972-445-0770. That is the number to call. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. That is the number to text. And then David at hemustincrease.org. That's David at hemustincrease.org, which we did get. Fred sent us an email on answering the trivia question. Good job, too. So we do get the emails. I'm just telling people. You do get them.
Oh, Brother Fred.
Yeah. All right. So let's just keep aware of a couple of different things. So we are, and I just want to make sure everybody's updated. So we're going to be working towards the simulcast. It's going to be starting August 7th, okay, which is a week from 2 weeks from yesterday or a week from this coming Monday, either way that you want to say that. We will be doing 1:30 to 2 on the simulcast. So it's not going the full 90 minutes. It's just going from 1:30 to 2 in the San Diego market, the old stomping grounds, and should be kind of interesting. But remember, we're experimenting a little.
Oh, cowboy back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle again. Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of that, and then we're not going to really do much different in the show. Actually, we're not going to do anything different in the show. It's not going to change at all, other than I'll be adding their call letters. That's it. And then outside of that, we can use a lot of prayer. Thanks. As we're going to have a meeting about this coming up pretty soon. Let's see. I'm trying to cover a couple of things all at the same time. Don't forget to be generous if you can be generous. Things are going good, though. Confident in that. So blessed in that. And we just love you guys. And we just appreciate all that you're doing. And I love, I know it sounds crazy, but I love praying for you guys because I pray with a lot of passion for you guys. And so if there's something real specific and you need help with it, don't hesitate to fill out that form or text me because, I'm doing it. Might as well just get into it. You know what I'm saying? So what's that saying we talked about before? If you can't get out of it, get into it. And say for me, it's become a blessing. So, all right. Trivia question, right? What book follows Joshua? Okay, so you got the first five books are the Torah, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then you have Joshua. That's the sixth book. Then what's the next book? Okay, next one. That's the one. Okay, just think about what's next. If you know, reach out to us, 972-445-0770, 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Please don't forget to pray for one another. I petition you in the name of Jesus to pray for one another. That's what I would say to you. All right, let's go back to this text, which is an amazing text, isn't it? When you get into this and you just like, you read this, you go, I get this sense from Paul. So, yeah, you can't miss it. And this is what I love, is that there's times where he's very passionate about people. He talks about 2 Corinthians. He's so passionate. 2 Timothy, you know, he knows he's dying. I mean, he's going to die. It's like, it's all that stuff's really wild, right? Here, he ain't happy. But he ain't happy because of the most base thing, because we've all started off with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then we think, okay, but now... And see that right there? That's the problem. But now, all right, so listen to what he says. And it ain't nice. So let's just go back to it, okay? Pick it up from when he says, let me ask you the one question. Let me ask you this one question. It's verse 2 in chapter 3. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? Of course not. For the Holy Spirit came upon you only after you believed the message you heard about Christ. Have you lost your senses? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? And some of the translations will say flesh. And it's like, but the principle is, it's not by effort that it's going to happen. Verse 4, you've suffered so much for the good news. Surely it wasn't in vain, was it? Are you now going to just throw it all away? Wow. Again, we can argue ad nauseum, well, they weren't really saved or whatever the case may be. And it's like, I think what Paul is saying is, hey, don't start Christian and then become carnal by trying to do it on your own. If you're going to start in the Spirit, because you receive the Spirit when you believe in Jesus, and no, you're not open to all the Spirit, but there's much more to go. And I understand there's people with different theologies. I fully respect, fully appreciate. What I'm trying to say is simply this. You don't start in the Spirit and finish by you. And the biggest part about that is, and I'm going to say this and get in trouble, the biggest part about that is our prayer life. You think, what do you mean? How I look at it is I pray and ask the Lord for something, okay? And I'm doing a lot better at praying early as opposed to praying late, because praying late just seems, it makes me feel more desperate anyway. But then if I don't see enough movement, I Abraham it and start filling in, because my patience and faith is poor. And even my own evaluation of my progress of my faith is poor. So I look at myself and I think, yeah, I've been a Christian for 45 years. You know, I had this education, this background. And then you know what I say to myself? Sometimes I say, hey, that's great. And then other times I say, I should be further along. Have you ever felt like I should be doing more? Or I'm not doing enough Jesus. And then I try to do the Jesus part. And it's like, that's what he's talking about. It's like, don't do that. It's not that you can't do other things in life. Nobody's talking about it. I'm not even talking about that. Okay? What I'm talking about is, and like if you want to try something new in life, I get that. You're not going to make yourself more like Jesus because of your effort. You can make yourself more like Jesus by having more faith. It's just that simple. It's like, no. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So the association in your communion with God increases the word in you, which increases the faith in you, which increases you pleasing God. Shoot for that. she go for that. In other words, operate outside of what your hands do and operate out of what God pours into your heart. Because then you know what you don't have to do? You don't have to be the responsible one for it. God can be, because you know what? It's his salvation. It's his. You get to receive it, but he's the one giving it. It's his gift. It's his. It's like he's going, hey, I love you. Here, have this wonderful gift. And then you go, yeah, that's really good. You know, I'm going to go make a paper mache copy of this real quickly and try and make it kind of like modify it. Like, why would you do that? Here's the real thing. Well, I know, but I'm going to make a copy of it, and it's not going to be as good because I'm not really thinking well, and somebody told me I should do it. That is the discussion that's going on here. Don't try and paper mache your salvation. It's God's work. You want to impress the Lord, quote unquote, stop trying to do it on your own. Be more of a faith person. Does that mean you should be a faith person in the sense of, you know, you never do anything? No, of course you know that. You know better than that. You're smarter than that. You know better than that. But it does mean you take your faith from a 6 to a 9. That's what it means. You flip that 6 upside down and make it a 9. Be at that level of expectation. Be at that level of trust and confidence. That pleases the Lord. Do that. Just like, okay, yeah, go. See, it's a rebuke, but it's a good rebuke, because instead of you trying to do it, it's us trying to not do it and go back to that core faith that it all started with. Remember how far you have fallen, Jesus said to the church at Laodicea. Oh, I'm sorry, at Ephesus, my fault. He said, remember how far you have fallen. Go back to the simple faith, okay? All right, what book follows Joshua? And the answer is?
Judges,
right there on that one. All right, we'll take our normal exit and go from there. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.